We are studying the book of Galatians. We finished first five chapters. Today is the last chapter of the book of Galatians, chapter 6. And we are going to start from the verse 1.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Now here St. Paul is talking about the man who came to Galatian church and tried to destroy their faith, tried to give them the wrong teaching, and many of Galatians went with him. That's the time St. Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, you started in the spirit and you're ending in the flesh." But now he's saying, whoever the person was, and if he did something wrong, spiritually or any other way, let this person come back to the Lord. Restore that man. And try to bring this man to the Lord with a meekness and love. And then he's saying, there is another warning. Sometimes, if you try to bring that person to the Lord and start arguing and fighting, you get tempted to do the wrong thing. That's what the Word of God is saying. When you counseling to somebody or telling somebody, be careful not to get tangled with those people. So, we can tell somebody, don't do this, don't do that. The same time, people try to do the same mistake. One man came to our church and he was backslidden. He started coming to the Lord and spiritually he was getting stronger. And one day he said, Pastor Peter, my girlfriend, old girlfriend, told me to come and tell her about Lord Jesus Christ. I said, sir, this is the enemy trying to pull you down. He said, no, I'm very strong now and I can handle it. I said, take your sister with you. Take some other people with you. Or if you want, I can come with you. He said, no, I can handle it. But when he went to her house, he never came back to church. So you can see what happened to him.
Amen.
So here the Word of God is saying, we try to bring somebody to Christ or try to correct somebody, don't get carried away and do the same thing or worse thing. That's why he's saying, lest thou also be tempted. So the devil is there to try to destroy you. We should know the tactics of the devil. Verse 2.
Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Now here is saying, when you have the burden for someone to come to the Lord or bless that person, it's a good thing. But at the same time he says, when you're doing this, so fulfill the law of Christ. What does it mean, fulfill the law of Christ? We are not under the law, but we are under the grace. So when you say fulfill the law of Christ, Jesus gave some commandment. He says, love one another.
Amen.
And he says, do the things you think that other people should do to you. So this is the law of Christ. That means you do everything by love. And against love, there is no law.
Amen.
When we are in the love of God, then we can do everything good, nothing wrong. So that's why he's saying, remember, when you're helping somebody, fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes some people try to help somebody and make them slave. I gave you this money, I gave you this, so you do this for me. The Word of God says when you do something to somebody, you know, you do it willingly and freely. Even though somebody asks you a shirt, give it to that person and never demand to get it back. So always, he says, keep in your mind the law of Christ. Am I fulfilling the law of Christ, or am I going under the law of Moses? The word of God says law came by Moses, but the grace and truth came by Lord Jesus Christ. So the law of Christ is love. Verse 3.
For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Now this is very important. There are so many people get tangled with this. Now somebody, if that person is not engineer or not a doctor, and try to be a doctor. There was a story. One person tells some ladies, I'm astronaut, I'm a doctor, and try to deceive those people. Or somebody says, I'm a minister, and do not know what to do as a minister. Just think somebody hired that person, and he claimed to be a minister, and somebody tells him, come and take charge of this church. What that person will do? So he says, don't try to be somebody which you are not. Only do the things you know the best. Sometimes somebody says, I know everything. Do you know plumbing? Oh yeah, I know. They can come and mess up your plumbing. They don't know. They are just looking for some money. There is a just case going on right now. There are two brothers in New Jersey somewhere. They would take the contract from somebody, take the money, and they don't know the job. They do the sloppy job, get the money, and run away. So the word of God is saying, as a Christian, we should be honest. If you don't know certain things, don't try to say, I know it. The word of God says, we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Then what does it mean? If you're doing everything, do through Christ. Amen. Christ will not allow you to do anything wrong. You cannot do everything by your own. If we start doing everything by our own, then we will make mistakes. Let Jesus Christ be our guide, and he can guide us and lead us in all truth. And so he says, let every man prove to his own work. That's verse 4. Please go.
But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another.
That's why he's saying, if you're not somebody and you're trying to be somebody, why don't you do what you know and prove it to some people? I said I'm a plumber, and look at my job. What kind of work I'm doing. So each and every person, whatever your calling is and whatever the job you know, do that job perfect. Let the whole world know that you are doing the right job. And that's why he's saying when you do right job, you will have rejoicing in himself. Means that person will have rejoicing in himself. Anything you do better, you will rejoice. You will say, thank God I was able to do that. Amen. There was another man, he would do something and then he would call his wife. He says, come and see my work. So maybe his wife is not giving him attention and everything he does wrong. And when he does something somewhere, he will take his wife and say, look at this job. I did it. So he's trying to prove to his wife, I am a good man. I'm doing some good stuff. So he said, if you're doing something good, you will have joy for yourself. Then you will be not regret that I did something wrong. If you do something wrong, or you cheat somebody or do something wrong, you will always have guilt, yes, guilty feeling in you. Even though they did not notice right away, but you will have guilt feeling. Verse 5.
For every man shall bear his own burden.
Now see, the verse 2 he says, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And here is verse 5, he says, for every man shall bear his own burden. One time he says, bear one another's burden. And then one time he says, you should bear your own burden. How does it work that way? You know, if you have 10 pounds and you're carrying it and too heavy for you, somebody can say, split to 5-5 pound and I'll help you. That is bearing one another's burden. But if somebody is in sin, committing sin, and having a heavy load burden, can you take his burden? No. He has to bear his burden. He has to go to the Lord. He has to pray. He has to say, Lord, I am sorry for my sin. You cannot take somebody's sin burden. Only Christ can take. So that person has to take his sin burden and put it under the cross and say, Lord, forgive me. You cannot ask forgiveness for somebody's sin. Some people say they have authority to forgive sin. We don't have authority to forgive anybody's sin. That person has to take his own burden, go to the Lord and ask forgiveness. But if he has some burden, financial burden or something he cannot carry, heavy load, you can help him. But for sin or sinful activity or personal relationship with God, you cannot help him. He has to take his burden to the Lord and he has to carry his own burden. Verse 6.
Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things.
Here the word of God is saying, if anyone teaching the word of God or trying to tell somebody what God is saying. So what is saying? Let him that taught in the word communicate unto him. So before you teach anyone anything, you should have communication with God. Meditate with God or edify yourself before you edifying somebody. If I try to teach somebody with my own idea without a Bible base, I will be misleading people. We should be preaching or teaching everyone or anyone according to the Word of God. If I do not read the Word, if I do not pray, if I do not sit in the feet of God, how can I tell somebody to do the same? So here is saying, if you're doing that and if you're teaching something, then teach everyone good things. There are schools in India, maybe in some other places also, they teach somebody how to steal, how to do wrong thing. There are schools, and you see in some Muslim country, they have schools. They are teaching the children how to hate Jewish people, how to hate Christian people, and how to kill them. So they are doing this. The Word of God says, if you're teaching, then you teach everything good. Don't teach everything bad. There are some parents teach their children to do bad. You heard the other day, you might have seen on TV, there is a grandmother taking one grandchild to the store and teaching that child to steal. What that lady is doing? Ruining that child's future. Not knowing that what she's doing. Because when you teach that child from the childhood, stealing is not bad, then they will be stealing more. There is a story, I don't know if it's a truth or wrong, but I'm thinking it might be a true story. One child went to the neighborhood and got a small egg. In India, somebody has their own chicken. You cannot just find it somewhere on the street, the egg. So he has to steal from somebody's. So when he got the egg, oh, you are so smart. Very good, good boy. So she encouraged him to steal more. Now he starts stealing chicken, starts stealing goats, starts stealing big things. And finally, he did so much wrong thing, and now he's in the death penalty. And they ask him, what is your desire, the last desire? He said, I want to see my mom and I want to maybe kiss her last goodbye. And when they allow her, he just took a bite of her nose. And she was so bleeding. So people said, why did you do this? Say, she is the cause that I am on the death penalty today.
Amen.
If she would have corrected me the first time I made a mistake, I won't be dying today. So she is more guilty than me. Try to teach them good. You don't have to teach them anything bad because they already have built-in demonic spirit to do wrong because they have Adamic blood in them. And Adamic blood is always doing something wrong. That's what we learned in our Bible study as well as last week. The flesh will tell you to do wrong thing. You don't have to teach somebody to do wrong. They will do wrong. Only we have to tell them to do good. Verse 7.
Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
So he's giving us a warning. If you try to sow something, a bitter thing, or some seed can bring the bad fruit, then you do. Then you are going to reap the harvest. Just like I told you the story. The word of God is saying, whatever you are going to sow, that you are going to reap today or tomorrow. If you sow love, you will reap love. If you start sowing hatred to somebody, that child or that person, we will hate you back. And that's what the Christianity is showing to the whole world. God is love.
Amen.
And God is love, we just say, but God lives in us. So we are the children of God. So we are going to produce love. We start doing the hatreds and bitterness and anything wrong sowing, we are going to reap the harvest wrong. If I sow the lemon, I'm not going to get apple or oranges. So this is the law. Some people said, you know, I'm financially broke. Ask that person, are you sowing the money in the kingdom of God? No. Then how are you going to be financially blessed? That's why you don't give somebody fish. What do you do? Teach them how to fish. That's why I tell them, start giving to God. Somebody says, I don't have anything. That's why I ask. You start giving what you have. Somebody says, I will give God 50% if I win the lottery. You will never win the lottery. You will never give 50% to God. Why don't you give a dime if you have a dollar? Why don't you give a penny when you have 10 cents? That's the way you start. That's what it's saying. Whatever you're going to sow, that's what you're going to reap. Verse 8.
For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Now, he's saying, if you sow in the flesh, what do you mean flesh? We learn. Flesh means any fleshly desire. Any fleshly desire tells you to do wrong against the will of God. If you start sowing that, what's going to happen? That says, that means you will be reap corruption. What the corruption is? Corruption means it's going to decay, it's going to destroy. What does it mean? The word of God says the flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. What does it mean? Means if anyone lives in fleshly desire and try to fulfill the desires of flesh and do not think about spiritual matter, that person will go to hell. With your own fleshly desire, living in the world, denying Christ, you cannot make it to heaven. And if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you will have eternal life. Otherwise, this body is corruptible. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, our spirit is reborn. And then what happens when Jesus Christ comes? Whoever is belong to Christ, those people will be resurrected. other people who are living in this flesh, living for the world, those people will not be transformed. That's what he's saying. If you sow in the spirit, then we'll reap the everlasting life. How do you sow in the spirit? You ask God, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. So the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ comes in your spirit. Then you have eternal life. But if you reject the Lord, reject the spiritual matters, reject the spiritual thing, and start doing the fleshly things, then you spiritually die. And that's what he says, you do not want to go to hell, you want to go to heaven. Only people will go to heaven who has Christ in them. That means Christ gives you eternal life. Eternal life, we have to start in this world. Some people are saying, oh, we go to heaven and we will live forever. How are you going to go to heaven? Automatically? Yes, that's what they think. If you die, you go to heaven. And that's why some people say, oh, this world is too much. I cannot handle this problem. Let me jump in the lake. And I will be going to heaven next minute. What are they doing? They're going to hell, not knowing. Because the flesh will not take you to heaven. The spirit will take you to the heaven. And so we read last time, the spirit recognized the spirit. If you are born again, child of God, the Spirit of God will recognize you are the child of God. You cannot fool God. That's why he says, don't mock God. You cannot fool God. God knows your desire, what kind of work you're doing, what way you are going. Even the people are not seeing it. God sees inside of your heart. So once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then God sees you, how? The holy man. The righteous man, the man who is completely transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not a single man can go to heaven doing the righteous things. There is not a single man. The word of God says, all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. And he says, your righteousness is a filthy rag in the sight of God. That means you cannot do anything righteous. Some people say we are doing it. But if they're doing something, behind that, there is some motive. You remember that Judas says, this perfume you wasted, that should be sold and get the money and give it to the poor. Jesus says, poor will be here until the end of the world. What does it mean? If any country or anybody try to say, are we going to take the poverty out of the world? They are fooling themselves. It is impossible. Now just think that our government starts saying, we are going to give $100,000 to each and every citizen. They don't have to do anything. If they don't have a job, we'll give $100,000. What will happen? Everybody who is doing the job, $25,000, $30,000 job, they will give up all the jobs. And you will have more poor people in this world than what we have. If people don't work, the Bible says they should not be eating. It's so cruel. Oh, your Bible is cruel. No, he says you don't want to work, you should not be eating. So Bible says work. The communism says you have $1,000, give everybody $100. Then what? He will be beggar like you, right? Now everybody says, some party or any party says, all these millionaires have lots of money, so they should be giving to the poor, give more money to government. Now just think that I am the millionaire and I have 10 factories and I do not have to worry. I have billions of dollars in the bank. And the government start forcing me to do something. And I said, okay, I close all the factories. I don't need any factory. I can survive without any factory. then how many people are going to lose jobs? People don't think all of these things. You have to see, if somebody came to America with a dime in his pocket and earned hard-earned money and became a millionaire, you want his money free? We have to work hard, and then God will bless you. Liars and cheaters and the robbers, they don't want to work. They want somebody's money. So all these things are happening. So the Word of God is saying, what are you doing? You are sowing in the flesh. You are going to reap the corruption. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you are going to reap.
Amen.
You are not going to say, oh Lord, I did it because my family was hungry, so that's why I killed the man and got the money, because my children were hungry. God is not going to say, okay son, you did it right. No. God is going to say, why don't you look for a job? Why don't you learn some trade? Why are you not finding a job? You didn't go to school. You didn't learn anything. The Word of God is saying, whatever you're going to sow, that's what you're going to reap. If you do right, you get blessed. If you live in spirit, you're going to have eternal life. If you live in flesh, you're going to have the carnal life or corruptible life. So he said, choose. Here is the life. Here is the death. Choose one. We have freedom. We can do whatever we want. God is saying, okay, do whatever you want. You're going to sow. You're going to reap. Whatever you're going to do, that's what the end will be. Verse 9.
And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not.
It's so simple. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in the due season we shall reap. See, there is a scripture, it says, you sow with the tears and do the harvest with the gladness, with rejoicing. Sowing is hard. If you remember, there was a famine in the land. And if the famine in the land, you don't sow in the famine. Because every seed, everything what you have, you wanted to survive. The Word of God says, Isaac sowed in the famine. Now some people might have said to him, thou fool, there's a famine. You're sowing in the famine. What's going to happen? But the Word of God says, he got a harvest hundredfold return. So he sowed in by faith. My God is the one who is going to give me the harvest. And he might have prayed, and maybe rain came just to his land. Other day, one man wrote me a letter from Africa, Kenya. And he said to me, we do not have rain, so please pray for the rain. I would have just said, yes, I'm praying for the rain. I didn't say that. We wrote a long letter to him, starting like this. You remember Elijah said to his servant, go and see if there is a cloud. He went and saw. He said, no cloud. He said, go again. How many times he went? 6 times. No cloud. Elijah was not weary. Servant might be tired going 6 times. He says, don't be weary when you're doing something good. Keep on doing it. So 7th time, this man says, I see the cloud. How big is it? He says, palm of my hand. That's good enough for me. He said to the king, king, run. He had the chariot. Run. The rain is coming. Now 3.5 years, there was no rain. The king might be thinking, thou fool, where is rain? But rain start pouring. So I said to this man, see, there was only little cloud, but the rain came. Then I said to him another example. Do you know when Children of Israel, they were in Egypt. One place sunshine, other place darkness. Their crop is ruined, their crop is okay. So God can see, if you are in the Lord, He will send the rain to you. I said there was another African group. They came to the Lord and they sowed in their land, and all other villages, they didn't have the rain. The rain came to the village who gave their heart to the Lord, and they had the crop. Then I said, there is a one man called me to his farm, and he had hundreds and thousands of acre land and cows and horses and animals. And he said to me, look at my animal and look at my farm. Everything dried up. I have well, but I have so much land and the well is going deep and we cannot survive. Could you please pray? I said, okay. In that night, I told all of his children and everyone, I said, take everything from the land. If you kept the cloth for drying or some other things, take it in. He said, why? Rain is coming. They are thinking, I'm joking. I said, we are praying for the rain. Be ready. And I prayed that night and I made a song about the rain. And I sang the song and I prayed in that night and rain came pouring down. So I wrote to this man how God blesses if you believe. I got an email the other day. He says, thank you for your prayer. We got a rain. So God is a good God. So the word of God is saying, keep on doing good things. And then when you start doing good things, God will bless. He said, do not faint doing something good. Sometimes people say, oh, I tried to do so many good things and it's nothing happening. So I'm not going to church. I'm not giving any tithe. Nothing works. How long am I going to keep on doing good things? He said, do not faint. And there is a scripture, book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 3. Please read.
For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.
See, when you're looking at Jesus Christ, how much he suffered, even though he was not a sinner. Sinners gave him hard time, crucified him. He did not say a one word against them. That's what he's saying. When you're doing good things, be not weary doing good things. Because in due season, sowing something, there is a due season for harvest. Then you believe that harvest is coming. So whatever you're doing by faith, it will come. But what I'm trying to say, everything has timing. And God does everything according to His time. We cannot hurry God, or we cannot do it our own way. When we trust in God and do not faint and do not curse God and do not fight with God and nothing is happening, why is this happening? I prayed and prayed and everything is going wrong. He will never get right. Keep on doing the things what is pleasing to God. And in due time, you will have harvest, but don't faint. Okay, verse 10.
As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Now, many people get confused with this when they say, do good to all men. That is a Christianity. Jesus even said, if your enemy hungry, what do you do? Feed him. But that doesn't mean keep your children hungry and start looking for a hungry man on the street. That's not a Christianity. He says, you should be able to take care of your household first. If you're not, you are worse than infidel. That means you are worse person. You have to know how to take care of the house. The same way, the word of God is saying, you give to anyone, but think about the household of faith. In your church, if somebody is hurting, in your house somebody is hurting, try to help them first. The word of God says, give the household of faith. Means if somebody is born again, child of God, and he doesn't have a job, he's not going to steal. He's not going to kill. They're going to suffer. So find a person who is born again, child of God, and needs your help. And help that person. That's what is important. Not just going and giving money to somebody that somebody will say, you are a good man. Verse 11.
Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand.
Now what Paul is trying to say here? Paul is trying to say he had the secretaries. And secretary could write the letters. But now he says, this letter is written by me. Now he might be old man. Some people take this and start saying, Paul had the problem with his eyes. And God never healed his eyes. You have to see, when Paul wrote this, he might be old man, and naturally, old people's eyes get dimmer. So he says, I want to prove it to you, this letter is written by me. Why is he saying that? When you concern about people, then you write with your own hand and own handwriting. That's what Paul is trying to say. I am concerned about you. I took time to write to you. So why don't you change? Don't go under law. Come to Jesus Christ. That was his messages. Okay, verse 12.
As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh.
Okay, now he's saying somebody is coming and trying to tell you to do circumcise or go under the law and do things which is not pleasing in the sight of God. When you do that, what he's trying to say, look at this. I bought this, all these people in my favor, or I made them my members. And he's trying glorifying in the flesh what he's doing. But that is not the will of God, that you should go under the law. So some people are trying to deceive you and thinking that they are doing okay. Some people try to steal members from other churches. You know. So the word of God says, we should go and preach the gospel to the people who never heard of it. Don't go to some church and try to steal their members. Go to the street. So what I'm trying to say, he says, those people are after you and bringing you the wrong devices. What is their motive? So what they're doing, he said, they're doing some kind of physical gain for themselves. They're not thinking they're doing for the Lord. So here he's saying, people are doing the work for what? For their flesh. Okay, let's read the following verse. We are not too far now.
But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world.
So what he's trying to say, when you doing the work for God, then the persecutions, the trials and tribulations and everything will come. When you doing something for God, you are not doing for yourself. That's what he says. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So I am not doing for the flesh. I am not doing for the name. I am not doing for the fame. I am doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever you do, in the house, or in your company, or anywhere, St. Paul is saying, I am crucified to the world, I am living for Christ. Only one gain I have, I'm going to tell the world about Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Let's read verse 15.
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Amen. So what he's trying to say, don't brag. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. And so he's saying, if the Israeli people live according to the will of God, then God is going to bless them. So he says, don't try to bother me. Don't try to give me a hard time. I already bearing the sign of Christ. Now somebody says maybe he had the sign of in his hand and things like that. No, he got beaten from people behalf of Christ. So everywhere he had the mark. And if somebody says, what is this? Oh, this is behalf of Christ. I suffer. So he says, I am bearing the signs and the marks in my body. So don't try to fight with me. Don't try to accuse me, because I have only one goal, to please Christ. And then the last thing he says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. What he's trying to say? Stay under the grace of God. Don't go under the law of Moses. And the grace of God is all sufficient for us. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Whatever the trials and tribulations and problem comes, preaching the Jesus Christ who died on the cross of Calvary, salvation came by grace. And we are saved by grace. So Lord Jesus, let us have your grace in each and every situation. We commit our lives into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.